Well, I'm very anti-law. I don't like regulation, and I like to shame people into behaving better.
Hi, I'm Ted Ballacher with Reason TV, and today I'll be speaking with Amy Alcon. Alcon is a nationally syndicated advice columnist. She blogs daily at advicegoddess.com and is author of the new book, I See Rude People, One Woman's Battle to Beat Some Manners into Impolite Society. Your book is very funny, very clever. Tell me, why did you write it?
Well, I just saw all of a sudden about 10 years ago that we were living in Meanland. You know, people just taking advantage of other people right and left. And so you're in a coffee shop, someone's streaming their loud, dull cell conversation into your brain. And my feeling is, as a libertarian, your right to stream your loud, dull cell conversation into my ears ends where my ears begin. So shared space, all that, you know, I started to sort of just be an activist against rudeness.
You mentioned that you're libertarian. I think a lot of people would say, when confronted with rudeness, there ought to be a law. If people are yapping too much at Starbucks, there should be a law that, you know, bans yapping at Starbucks.
Well, I'm very anti-law. I don't like regulation, and I like to shame people into behaving better. And I think that that's a better deterrent than laws. People break laws all the time. But shame is, I think, a much, much better deterrent, because you're thinking, oh, wait, she put that girl's phone number and loud cell conversation on the internet. You know, gee, I wouldn't want that to happen to me, where the law, they're not going to catch me.
And so talk about one of your, you do this a lot. You make a habit of standing up against rudeness. How do you shame people?
Well, you know, like I was saying, I'm sitting at this cafe. This woman's shouting into her cell phone about her eyeglasses at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, I just look around and all these people, they're just so disturbed by it. And I started to try to, you know, send a message like, look, we're all hearing you and this is obnoxious. So I stand up and I start taking notes very visibly. I'm a big person, red hair. This woman is so oblivious to anything but her own needs that she just doesn't see me. And so I knew she'd do it. She puts out her phone number. So I thought, hey, obviously, if you're shouting your personal information at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're lonely and you want people to know it. So I put her phone number and all her information on the internet. Anna Sturges needs new glasses. And people called her from around the world. Anna, your glasses are ready.
So she's probably not yapping too much at Starbucks.
Right. And so other people who see this, they aren't necessarily going to be nicer people. But if they're also these loud roodsters, they'll think, that could happen to me. Maybe I'll be considerate.
One of the interesting things about your book is that you show these ways that don't have anything to do with passing laws that basically shame people. A lot of it has to do with using new technology. Can you tell the story of the woman in the New York City subway who sort of took the law into her own hands by snapping?
Yeah, I love this. There is a great headline, I think, in the New York Daily News, Onan the Vegetarian, about this guy. He had exposed himself to this woman and apparently a bunch of other women on the New York City subway. You know, so she pulled her camera phone out of her purse, snapped a photo, and showed a policewoman in the subway who did nothing about it. People have this idea that the police are going to save you and solve your problems. Unless there's a body on your kitchen floor, that's probably not going to happen. You have to do it yourself. So she posted it on Flickr. And I guess like a day later, 12 hours later, they knew who the guy was. They had his picture on the front page of the Daily News. And I love that. I love it. That's going to be more of a deterrent than some, you know, peeper or pervert law in New York. Obviously, it was not a deterrent to this guy.
You mentioned Starbucks, things like that. What are the other rudeness hotspots?
Oh, people who are rude drivers and, you know, will just, you know, do horrible, horrible things to you on the road. What else? Oh, telemarketing. I hate, hate, hate telemarketing. It's a form of theft. I call it the business of abuse. You have no right to take a phone line, hijack a phone line I pay for, and steal my time to make your marketing costs cheaper. So if you do this to me, I will charge you. I'm not mean to the person who calls me on the phone. I find the honcho of the company they're selling for, find his home number, zabasearch.com, and I call him at home, preferably at dinner time, chew him out for calling me at home, and then I invoice him for use of my time in my phone line and get them to pay me.
Has that worked?
Oh, yeah. I've gotten hundreds of dollars. And actually, I got the idea from a posting in Hit and Run. Tyler Cowen, the economist, had said, you should charge people, you know, for doing this to you. And so I posted on my blog prices. I think it's $3,773.27 or something for bothering me during my dinner. And the fact that you don't look that up, it's like ordering grilled cheese where there are no prices. It's $45. You ate it. Sorry, you didn't ask. Just because other people don't request that you pay, or demand in my case, hey, you're going to have to pay me.
And you demanded and received a $1 restitution from a woman who was stealing your attention. I believe that's how you phrase
right,
it.
Right, right. I was at this no cell phones cafe I go to, and that sign there, which is all over the place, you know, at the door, on the counter, did not stop her from shouting into her phone at 8 o'clock in the morning, 6 inches from my head. This is an empty place, just her at the table behind me. I'm at this booth. And so I told her there's no cell phone policy, and she, you know, retorted something about my karma. I was going to bad karma. Yeah, whatever, lady. This neo-hippie by way of Neiman Marcus. So she goes out, comes back in, and I said, you know, you stole my attention. You know, my time is valuable. She said, well, I'll give you a dollar. So I said, oh, cool. I was not mad anymore because if you're going to pay me, you're not abusing me, you're hiring me. And at that rate, I get $120 an hour for listening to loud, dull conversations, and I'm totally cool with that.
What do you say to people who say, well, you know, just loosen up a little bit more? So what if someone's chatting at Starbucks? You go there, you know it's going to be a social environment.
Okay. Well, conversations between people, that's fine. I like to be out amongst people. I'm a chatty girl. But actually, it turns out that when there's a one-sided phone conversation, it forces your brain to pay attention in a way you wouldn't if people are having two-sided conversations. Your brain apparently tries to fill in the other side of the conversation. So it's annoying to you in a way two-sided conversations aren't. So what I do is use the internet and modern technology to bring back the constraints of the small town, small tribe, where you would have been shamed and, you know, kicked off the island, essentially, for being a jerk.
And there are a lot of websites that have popped up to fight rudeness too, correct?
Oh yeah, there's one, killthecalls.com against telemarketing. I love that one. The guy, he's a bleeding heart Republican, always on some cause. And, you know, he just got these 30 calls a day from mortgage people. He said, look, take me off your list. He's a busy guy. He didn't want to track them down. But when they wouldn't, he ended up suing them. And he got, I think, $5,000. And he tells you how to do it. I just love that site.
Hollerback NYC.
That's where the girl, I think, posted her. That's where they do postings more postings of perverts, you know, who expose themselves. So, you know.
Pervert Emporium.
Yeah, right. Pervert Empo.
And so I think it's interesting that you draw a lot on evolutionary biology. I mean, the book is very fun and interesting, but it's also grounded in these ideas. Another one is the tragedy of the commons, which will be very familiar concept to econ geeks.
Right.
How does that play into the foundation of your book?
I actually like to call it the tragedy of the in the commons. And that is like the Starbucks example you gave, where people take over a shared space as if it's their own. And so what I bring out in the book is that they're stealing from us. Now, if somebody takes your wallet, it's a tangible thing, it's there and it's gone. But what these people are taking from us is our time, our peace of mind, in the case of loud neighbors, our good night's sleep. And so what I say is that we need to see these things as resources so we can refuse to be victimized by these people.
When people think of rudeness, smoking comes up a lot. And I think a lot of libertarians hate smoking, but they also hate laws against smoking. How does someone like you approach that?
I see smoking like farting. You're pointing out this sort of noxious fume. And it seems sort of impolite to do that. You know, it's the old, you know, your right to punch me in the nose ends where my nose begins. And my lungs are not your lungs. And so I think that people should be considerate. But I also think if you want to open up a smoking bar, hey, you know, I don't have to go there. But that, you know, if you're in an elevator with me, you know, don't be lighting up because maybe I don't like smoke.
Do you think your non-law approach would have figured out a better way to deal with smoking?
Well, squirt guns, but I guess that's not very libertarian. My friends, you know, people come over, I don't want people to smoke in my house, they go out on my porch. I mean, that's just sort of how you behave as a polite person. And I think that some of these sort of like activist bits that I do, they sort of encourage a kind of behavior where it's like, let's all behave well, let's be adults so we don't need a government, you know, that comes down on us. I prefer to not have legislation. I prefer to encourage better behavior.
And what would you advise our viewers if and when they're confronted with rudeness, what should they do?
Well, I'm what's called a costly punisher. You know, I think that's from economics. It means that I will, at cost to myself and at no benefit, sort of enforce things when I feel there's an injustice done. So if you're a person like me and you can speak up, big mouth and all that, tell people, do something, you know, post their picture on the internet if they're doing something flagrantly rude. But if you're not, actually, I say to recognize that basically I figured out that we're rude based on Robin Dunbar's research because we live in societies too big for our brains. And so we're around strangers all the time. You treat strangers differently than friends. And so I encourage people to treat strangers like neighbors, and then maybe life won't feel so much like one big wrestling smackdown.